Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're amazing. Thank you that you're awesome, Lord. Thank you that you just pour out your joy on us, Lord. We love you, Lord. And Father, I just pray, come Holy Spirit in this place, speak to us tonight, Lord, and set us free. And Lord, you love us, Lord. Your word says that you sing over us, you rejoice over us, Lord God. Let us feel that tonight, Lord God. Just set us free and liberate us and give us life tonight, Lord, I pray. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, that was the Amazing Grace version of Cain and Abel. My name is Stephen. I'm going to be preaching tonight on money, and Sarah, my beautiful, wonderful wife, is going to be preaching as well. So we're both actually going to mention Cain and Abel, so we thought, oh, let's put that video on because it's so amazing. I'll give you the biblical version. Which is Genesis chapter 4, and it's the short version. It says, when they grew up, that was Cain and Abel, when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Well, we haven't got enough time to sort of do the whole story, but basically you've got this story of two brothers, and one of them presents an offering to God of a particular type, and another one presents an offering, and God accepts one offering, but he rejects the other offering. And you know, for centuries, theologians and clever people have argued about why that is, but... And they give really good answers, and actually, you know, I don't disagree with many of the things they say about, you know, it's a different type of gift and a sacrifice and all that kind of thing. But the real issue is the heart. And it says that Cain gave some of his crops as a gift to God. So he gave some stuff to God as a gift. There you go, God. But it says Abel brought the best of the firstborn. And it was all about heart. God rejected one offering because actually it was meaningless. It was just, there you go, God. But Abel's heart was fully dependent on God, and he loved God, and he's passionate. And I'm not going to spend ages on Cain and Abel. I want to talk about what Jesus says about money, because I think if you want to understand Cain and Abel, then I think Jesus presents it really in his messages. When he talks about money and possessions and about heart, because all the way through Jesus' ministry, people are always trying to, you know, trick him with religious questions and questions about the law. And Jesus says, you know, yeah, there's not one letter of the law will be thrown away, but he always preached to the heart, because from the heart is where everything else flows. And if you're going to talk about money, I could say, you know, you should do this and you should do that, and this is the way things are, but, you know, the Holy Spirit really is interested in what's going on inside of us. As Christians, what's inside of our hearts is what will determine the way we live in regard to money. Sounds like my little baby crying for there. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, he says, "Don't store up treasures on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasure in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there is the desire of your heart." I'm going to read some more from that passage as well. But Jesus basically said, in this lifetime, store up your treasure in heaven. You know, there's nothing wrong with having money in the bank, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, being wealthy. But Jesus was saying, you know, send it on, send it ahead, send it into eternity. Use what you've got in this life to live for God and to do good things. And, you know, we're blessed to bless other people. The resources that God gives us are not just for us, but for those around us. And Jesus says, he says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. What's precious to you, that's where your heart is. Is it God that's precious to us? Or is it our money and our wealth and our possessions? It's really difficult for us to grasp, actually, this. As British people in Western society, There's many things that Jesus teaches which are difficult, but this is particularly difficult for us to get hold of because we're so driven by our capitalist way of thinking, and that's not necessarily all wrong. You know, Chris and myself, we have a business together, and it's not wrong, but sometimes our thinking can be possessed by that, and we think that that's the way things really are, but actually there's more than that. There's the kingdom of God which goes beyond that, and it's so difficult for us to get hold of. And Jesus, something else which is, I think, particularly British, we struggle with, he says, he talks about storing up treasures in heaven. We don't like thinking about reward, do we? But, the Bible talks about reward. It's not a sin to look for a reward in heaven. It's actually something that's taught all the way through the Bible. It's something that we should actually do. We should actually think about that. We should store up reward in heaven for ourselves. We shouldn't brag about it because we lose it. But we should store ourselves up reward in heaven. Jesus goes on, he says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and you will love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. Man, that's hard, isn't it? Because actually the whole Western society, everything in us is based on money, isn't it? The whole society is based, we base our value on money. He goes on, he says, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? So Jesus says, life is more than our possessions. In society around, we place value on people, don't we, by how much they have, how wealthy they are, how materialistic they are. I know another leader in the church, he said to me, he'd got this new job and company car came with it, and just happened his wife got a company car at the same time, and he says, and the neighbours started speaking to us. That's the way it is, isn't it? We live in a sort of peer group, and we go on the same sort of holidays, send the kids to the same school, drive the same sort of cars, and if we get downgraded, then we're no longer in that little group. That's the way it works. We think that with our possessions is our value. One of the names for the devil in the Bible is the accuser. And, in the original language, the Bible was written in Greek. This translation into English, but the word in Greek for accuser was kategoros, which is where we get the word category in English. And the devil, he sticks labels on us and he values us. But Jesus says, you're worth more than all of those things. Whatever value you've been put on what you are, you're working class, you're middle, whatever you are, your value is more than that. You're not worth what you have. You're worth what Jesus paid for you, which is everything. The Son of God died for you on a cross. That's what you're worth. Every person in this room is worth that, and we're not worth what we have. Jesus says, you can't serve both. You love one or hate the other. It's true that, If you love money, you can't really serve God. But you know what? The opposite is true. And I got a bit of a revelation reading this when I was just preparing. If you hate money, that's because you're actually serving money. Do you know what? I was bullied quite a bit at school, and I spent a lot of my life in the back of my mind somewhere trying to live up to something, trying to prove myself. It's like all of those people who bullied me, you're all losers now, and I've succeeded. But you know what? We don't need to live like that. I really believe God wants to set people free tonight. Jesus says, don't worry. God wants to set us free from worry tonight and liberate us. We don't have to live under that. Jesus says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? He says, these things dominate the minds of unbelievers. That's what the world around us, that's what people worry about all of the time. People are worried about their position in society, whether they'll lose it, whether they're going to get enough money. Jesus says, don't worry about that stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. And this is totally true. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. If we live for God, Jesus promises us that he'll provide for all of our needs. I've got a couple of stories, but I've got enough time for one of them. My granddad was a pastor, and he was called to be a pastor in Norway, and he moved over to Norway, and he had this agreement with the denomination he was part of. They were going to pay half of his salary, and there was another church in Denmark. They were going to pay the other half. And when he got to Norway, there'd been a bit of an argument between these two groups, and one of the groups pulled out. And when he arrived in Norway, he realized he was only going to have half a salary. But he knew that God had called him there. So he's like, you know what, I'm going to stick it out. And God really blessed him. You know, he lived on half a salary, but, you know, just ridiculous things like the fruit trees in his garden produced loads of fruit, and he produced a load of jam and sold it. It's like the widow's oil, you know, in Elijah. And he drove around in his car for ages and months without putting petrol in, and just all sorts of miracles because he put God first. God will provide. Now, Sarah's going to get up.
Yeah, so Abel, he's a very interesting character, isn't he, really? Because, yeah, his heart was in the right place, which is the absolute most important thing. But, you know, he was really wise. And he was also full of faith. You know, we know he was wise because, you know, he feared the Lord. Because he feared the Lord, he knew that nothing would be but the best of the best for God, because God is just so awesome and mighty and holy. And we know in Proverbs 1 verse 7 that fear of the Lord is the foundation of truth and knowledge. You know, like, he had God as his firm foundation. But, you know, he had an immense amount of faith, because in Hebrews 11 verse 4 it says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. So, you know, he had this really good balance of wisdom and faith. And when we think about money and how to deal with it and how to use it, what we really need to do is have that balance, really, between wisdom and faith. And I'm just going to outline three really clear points on how we can get that balance when it comes to dealing with the money in our life. So the first thing we can do to be wise is learn to listen to the voice of God. You know, when you're thinking about money, we often have huge financial outlays, don't we? Like, you know, you can have a thinking about the holiday that you want to pay for, or a car, which university you might want to go to because fees are just so expensive. And really the best thing that you can do is just be wise and listen to God. You know, there's a famous author of marriage books, and they're really good, like, marriage counsellors called John Eldridge and Stacey Eldridge, and they talk about as well that, you know, the best way is to learn to listen to the voice of God, and to avoid arguments, what they do is they learn to listen to him. You know, they learn to, you know, talk to God and ask him what he should do with the money. And there was this one incident where the husband, Johnny, he was needed a holiday for him and his wife because they're just so busy with ministry and everything. And he sat down and he was really wise because he prayed to God and he said, God, you know, what do you want me to do with this holiday? And he listened to God and heard God say, rent a house. And he thought, are you mad? Rent a house? There's so many options. I have no idea which one to choose. And also, it's going to cost so much money. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to chicken out and I'm just going to book a hotel because it's quicker and easier. So, unfortunately, what he lacked in that incident was the obedience. So he lacked a bit of faith as well because he wasn't obedient to God. So they went on this holiday. And what happened was the first half was a complete and utter disaster. What they needed was peace and rest. And he says that all they got really was a skanky hotel room that was minging and disgusting. And it was really loud. And halfway through the holiday, his wife, Stacey, was in tears saying, this is awful, I want to go home. So in desperation, Johnny runs into the bathroom. And he's wise at this point because he actually has the wisdom to cry out to God again and listen to him. And he says, God, I'm so sorry for not listening to you in the first place. What do you want me to do? And God said again, rent a house. So he quickly gets in the computer and then, you know, half through this holiday books a house to rent instead. And do you know what he said? That second half of the holiday was the most blessed holiday they've ever had. And it just makes me think, you know, you need to be wise and listen to the voice of God, but you also need to have the faith to be obedient and do what he actually says. Now, thankfully, you know, God redeemed that situation for that married couple, because ultimately, Johnny came back to Jesus, he repented and, you know, he listened to God and was obedient. But I just think, you know, if he had listened to God and then been obedient in the first place, his main worry was, I can't do that because it's so expensive, but I'm fairly confident that if he listened to God, you know, God would have found a way to bless him somewhere or another. Because, you know, it tells us in Matthew 7, verse 11, so if you sinful people know how to give God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So, you know, God wants you to be blessed and he wants the best for you. So if you're wise and listen to him with what to do with your money, but then in faith be obedient, you know, he will absolutely bless you. You know, and if you don't know how to listen to God, you know, ask the Holy Spirit. It says in John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit is our guide and he will help you. The second way that you can be wise with your money is actually be wise in what you choose to proclaim over yourself. You know, have you ever come across someone and they say, oh, do you know, I'm always skint, and they find that they're always skint? Or you come across someone and they say, oh, I never have enough money, and lo and behold, they never have enough money. But what if we did it the other way around? What would happen then? Because, you know, as Christians, what we say is so, so important. You know, in James 3, verse 4 and 5, it tells us about our tongue and the importance of the tongue. You know, the tongue, it's a small rudder that makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But, you know, it goes on to say more than that, actually. In James 3, verse 9, sometimes the tongue praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. So it's quite a scary thought, but when you think about it, we actually have the option to choose to proclaim blessings over ourselves or to proclaim curses over ourselves. Now that sounds really awful and scary, but it's actually very, very simple. All we actually need to do is, you know, get hold of the Bible and proclaim those positive scriptures over ourselves. Because, you know, in Matthew 18:18, it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So as Christians, we actually have the power to release blessings over ourselves. You know, we can release the blessings, or we can choose to release the curses. I don't know about you, but I think I'd rather choose to release the blessings over myself. So, you know, just think of those blessings. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, if you're thinking, I don't have enough money, don't proclaim that over yourself. Proclaim that verse over yourself. Be wise, proclaim it, and then in faith, receive that blessing. You know, that's what we need to do as Christians. Or, you know, Philippians 4, verse 19, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. It's his glorious riches. It's Jesus Christ that gives us everything. You know, again, proclaim that truth over yourself and over your life, and you'll be mightily, mightily blessed. You know, when I found out I was pregnant and had my first baby, who's little baby Anna, she's 5.5 months, she's gorgeous. In my head, before she was born, I thought, oh, do you know what? Having a baby is actually really expensive. And in my head, I tried to calculate, you know, how much will it actually cost to just for the setup of a baby? You know, you think about the primer cot and everything else. And I thought, do you know what? Just going sort of low to mid-range stuff, getting everything, is going to cost about maybe £1,000, £1,500. And I was thinking, whew, that's a lot of money. Now, I could have gone round and said to Stephen, do you know what? This baby we're having is going to cost a fortune. But, you know, I didn't. In the end, I chose to proclaim those scriptures over myself. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And do you know what? You know, we've been awesomely, mightily blessed with, you know, just so many things for Anna. And eventually, I think when Anna was born, we'd hardly spent anything on her because we'd just had so much stuff given to us. Someone had bought us a pram for new, and my dad had made us a cot, and then one of Stephen's family members said, oh, we're getting rid of all our baby stuff, and we ended up with about 15 different items, anything from a bumbo seat to a baby carrier to a baby bath, a play gym, absolute all sorts. And do you know what? The awesome thing is, God cares, because even with the little details, you know, I said, oh, well, I want the room to be yellow, and I want it to be a jungle theme. And then with all this like batch of things that we got given and all this secondhand stuff, in there was this cop mobile that was yellow and jungle themed, and then, you know, the playmat was jungle themed, and it was just, you know, awesome how God had blessed us so much with all this stuff. And why was that? It's because, you know, we were wise in what we chose to proclaim over ourselves. So be wise in what you choose to proclaim, and in faith receive it. You know, the two things go absolutely hand in hand. And finally, the final thing we can do to be wise with our money is actually be wise to the world. Now, Jesus tells a story of the shrewd manager in Luke verse 16, verses 1 to 12. And I always found this a bit of an odd story, and it took me ages to get my head around. Because basically, this this rich man, he hires a manager and says, "Oh, you know, you look after my money." But this person that looked after the money, he actually did a really bad job of it. So the rich man says, "Do you know what? You've done an awful job. Come in tomorrow, give me an account of everything, and I'll fire you." So the rich man, the manager who's managing all the money and not doing a very good job of it says, "Well, do you know what? I can't beg because I'm too proud, and I can't do manual labour because I'm not very good at that. So I know what I'll do. I'll go off and I'll try and make some friends." So he goes to someone that owes money, to the manager, and says, "How much do you owe?" And he says, "Oh, 800 gallons of olive oil." And he says, "Quick, change it to 400. And then he says, "How much do you owe?" And he says, "Oh, 1,000 bushels of wheat." And he says, "Quick, change it to 800. And then the Bible says next, which has utterly baffled me to begin with, the rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. Huh? I was like, what? So we have to be, like, untruthful with our money and, like, sneak around and, like, you know, be deceitful. But no, it's actually the complete opposite. You know, it goes on to say, "And it is true that children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than the children of light. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home." So, you know, what it's saying is, it's, you know, okay to have things, so long as you know in your heart that ultimately you're going to use them for God's kingdom, you know, and to bring people to him. It's okay to, you know, to make friends and, you know, help them with worldly things, or help them with money, or be wise with your money, so long as in your heart you know that ultimately, you know, you're going to use that for God's kingdom and help him that way. You know, it then goes on to say, "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own?" So, you know, what it's also saying there really is, sometimes as Christians, we can get so wrapped up in being a Christian, being a good Christian, being a good Christian, that we actually miss the point. And, you know, you get so wrapped up in that that you end up being foolish with what you've got rather than wise. And so, you know, as Christians, you know, the Bible clearly tells us, "And if you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven?" So God's expecting us as well, really, to be wise with what we've got. And so there's nothing wrong really with, you know, going to university and, you know, getting a good degree and getting lots of money from a good job, as long as you know in your heart that ultimately that money is going to be God's and you're going to use it for his kingdom somehow. There's nothing wrong with having savings in your bank account, as long as you know that ultimately those savings belong to God, and when he asks you to do something with them, by faith you'll actually do it, you know. And there's loads and loads of little ways we can be wise with our money. You know, one good way to be wise with your money is to think, okay, well, what's going into my account and what's going out of my account on a weekly or monthly basis? You know, if you're choosing to ignore that, then really, you know, you're probably choosing to do that out of fear because you're worried that you're not going to have enough or whatever. But we've already said that if you proclaim these good things, God's going to bless you. You know, so we don't need to be fearful of those types of things. You know, you can do little things. Don't be proud. If you don't have much money, go to charity shops and buy things secondhand. Or, you know, if you regularly do your Tesco shop at Tesco, build up Tesco points and then use those points for other things. Or if you have loads of Tesco points and have loads of money, use that to bless someone else. So, you know, I've got loads of Tesco points and I've got all these vouchers. Give them to someone else to use that, you know, doesn't have much money. You know, there's loads of different ways we can be wise with what we've got. And, you know, if you're really struggling with money as well, you know, there's things you can do. You can pray about it. You can ask God to release you from it. There's Christian organisations out there that help with debt as well. You know, you don't have to struggle on your own with these types of things. You know, be wise to the world. Be wise with what you have. There's nothing wrong with doing that as long as you know that it's ultimately for God and his kingdom. So the three things we can do to be wise about money are learn to listen to the voice of God and by faith actually be obedient and do it. Be wise in what we choose to proclaim over ourselves and in faith actually receive it. And be wise to the world, but in faith know that ultimately it belongs to God and you're going to use it for him. But you know what? Everything that I've said is completely pointless, and this is the most important point, completely pointless if you don't have Jesus in your life and if you don't have your heart in the right place. So if you don't get anything from this tonight, get this one thing. Everything I've said is rubbish if you don't have Jesus in your life and your heart in the right place. They're key.
Wow, fantastic. When we got married, I put Sarah in charge of the money. That was wise. Yeah, hallelujah. Just a few more minutes as we finish off. And yeah, give me the timer as well. Yeah, you know, there's a lot being said tonight, and we're going to have some ministry at the end here. And actually, I would love to see this area full tonight. You know, I think, you know, if you want to come forward and get some prayer, or actually just come forward and acknowledge something tonight, I just have a feeling tonight it's not necessarily about receiving prayer. If you want to receive prayer, then that's fine, but I want to leave it free for people to come forward and to kneel at the front and just receive something off God. And if someone comes along and pesters you and you say, no, sorry, I don't want prayer, I just want to meet with God. God's spoken something in my heart and I want to give it up to him. You know, maybe you're full of worry, maybe you're full of concern and you want to let go of that tonight. I really believe, I've been praying for this before the meeting, and there was such joy out the back when we're praying. I really believe the Holy Spirit is here tonight to bring freedom. And so, you know, when a message is preached, the Holy Spirit anoints it with power to achieve what's been talked about. And so we've been talked about being free of worry. And I really believe tonight, if you come forward and give stuff up your worrying to God, then you can be free of it. It'll go, you'll be released from it. One of the big scriptures over this church is Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. You know, and Jesus is good news to the poor. And if you're full of debt and you're full of problems, and maybe you've been proclaiming some of those things Sarah's been talking about over your life, and tonight you want to make a decision and you want to step out, and so I'm going to step out the front and I'm going to choose to proclaim the goodness of God over my life. I choose not to proclaim this rubbish over me. You know, come and stand at the front and say, yes, Lord, that's me. I'm choosing tonight to let go of those things. And just one more little parable from Jesus to finish off. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, he says, then someone called from the crowd, teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, friend, who made me judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Then he told them this story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. Then I will have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, enjoy, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you've worked for? Yes, this person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship towards God. you know what? We can live our entire lives building up wealth. We can live our entire lives by becoming somebody. But none of it matters if when we die, we don't know Jesus. None of it's of any value. Life is worth more than whatever degree we have, whatever car we drive, whatever job we have, whatever money we've got on our bank account. It's worth nothing when we die. I remember listening to J. John once, and he said that he went back to Cyprus, his home country, for his father's funeral. And you know, he says over there everyone's a bit nosy, he says. And one of his relatives came over and says, "Oh, you know, did your dad leave anything and for you?" And J. John said, "He left everything." You know what? When you die, you leave everything. Don't take anything with you. Do you know what? The only thing you can take with you is Jesus. So get that sorted out. Because if you haven't got that right, then all of that stuff that we're running after, it doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. We'll die one day. Then what is it achieved? That's what Jesus was saying. He says, this guy was a fool. And do you know what? To me, in my head, he sounds like a pretty smart, wise guy. You know, like, oh yeah, I've worked hard, I've produced this, I'm going to enjoy my retirement. But Jesus said, no, he was a fool because he'd done all that but didn't know God. Let's close our eyes. Let's just pray. Maybe God's been speaking to you tonight, and actually maybe you want to make that decision and say, you know what, I need God in my life. That's me. You know, maybe you're not like that rich guy. Maybe you're not super rich. But maybe you know tonight you felt like God speaking to you, and you know that actually that you want to live for God. You want God in your heart. You don't want to. You know that there's more to life than this. And maybe tonight is the night for you to say yes to Jesus. Say yes, Jesus. I don't understand it all, but I want you in my life. I want what these guys have got. I want what I see in this church. I want to live for a different purpose to everybody around me and have something that's more valuable and significant and better than that. Maybe tonight is the night for you. So I'm going to pray in a minute, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray and I want everyone to join me. You know, the words after me, but maybe you've not given your life to Jesus. And as we pray this prayer, I want you to pray this prayer with us. As we all pray together, so I want us all to pray. I'll keep our eyes closed. This is a quiet moment for everybody. But let's just pray this prayer together. And those, if you want to make a decision for Jesus tonight, if you want to say, yes, Jesus, I want what these guys have got. I want this. I want this God in my life. Then just pray this prayer with us. Join with us and pray and ask Jesus into your heart and give your life to Jesus tonight. Lord Jesus, let's just pray after me. Yeah. Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to give my life to you. Please forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong. I'm sorry about all of those things. And I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for giving me life. I thank you for giving me a purpose. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that I matter to you. I thank you for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I welcome you into my heart right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just while everyone's eyes closed, if you prayed that for the first time, do you want to just raise your hand and just give an indication of... Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Let's just pray to close the meeting. Lord, I thank you that you've met with people tonight and saved people, Lord. And I thank you that you love us, Lord God, and you're going to do awesome stuff for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you in to the meeting at this point. And just going to hand over to Chris just to quickly lead this last bit. But you know what? If God's been speaking tonight, come down the front. You know what? God's been speaking to me as I prepared this. I'm going to be down there with you because actually I realize that sometimes I'm driven a bit by money. You know, it's in my mind. I worry about it. I think about it. And I'm going to be down there too because I'm going to be saying, yeah, God, you know, I love you and I give my life 100% to you. Amen.